Hi, good morning, especially to you. Thank you all for coming today. My name is Sara Heider, and I'm the president of the Muslim Law Students Association here at Florida. It is commonly said that people fear that which they do not understand, and the lack of understanding of Islam has led to widespread Islamic hate. So I thank you all for taking the first step towards eradicating this misunderstanding. It is with great pleasure today that we have Sayyid Abbas Ali, an Islamic scholar renowned for his teachings. He has over 14 years of academic education. He has given lectures in over 10 countries on various topics on Islam, such as the beliefs, the jurisprudence system, and issues facing the youth. He is currently the resident Islamic scholar of a mosque in Seattle, Washington, and he's a trustee of the Muslim Congress, an organization that works to spread, to explain to mainstream Americans what the true Islam is. Without further ado, say it was.
Is supposed to inform us that being in these Composition of the body and soul. Body is surviving because of the soul, and the soul is not surviving because of the body. The body belongs to the world of matter, and we learn in Islamic philosophy that the world of matter and all of its belongings are temporary and limited. Whereas the soul is an entity that belongs to the metaphysical world, and everything belonging to the metaphysical world is limitless and eternal. Our life is because of our soul. We find that a person dies and the soul departs. Seeing come this power in the mouth of this person whose corpse is lying there, he cannot use the tongue, cannot speak. He has the same ears and the same hands and feet, but and the same eyes. He cannot move none of those. He cannot utilize those tools, quote, because that's exactly what the body is. The body is nothing but tool that we humans use to perform things which are actually done and dictated by our souls. So the life is entirely dependent on the soul of the person, and the soul being existence coming from the metaphysical world is eternal and has limitless powers. Thank you. When we realize this much, that we are composed of these two components, then obviously, as we're talking about the religion, a religion must provide laws for the humankind to lead a successful life, not only in the material world where we are right now, but in the world where the souls will continue to live after death, because the souls are there forever. Souls are belonging to the metaphysical world and not the material world. If it was belonging to the material world, it would make sense that there is no life after death, because that is matter. And what relates to matter stays in the world of matter, and the rules of the world of matter will apply on it. And whatever belongs to the metaphysical world will get back to its hometown, and none of the rules of matter should apply to that existence, because it simply doesn't belong to that world. Its domain is the metaphysical world, so we, in order to provide and ensure eternal and spiritual success for our souls, must have laws belonging to the hometown of the soul, which is the metaphysical world. The problem with the people, some people of this material world, is that they try to apply the rules of matter on the soul. And that's where they get stuck. The rules of matter are irrelevant, uncompatible, not at all concerning, actually causes discomfort for the spirituality. So it really doesn't matter what our souls, what sort of heart we drive, what sort of mattress we sleep on, and what sort of house we live in. what is the balance of the policy? Because all of these things are related to the road management, and these things can be derived from both of them. And it's the process of what you find in the road, in the luxurious car, in the luxurious home, in the luxurious amount of money. But the soul is not at all concerned with these things, because that's not the whole part of the soul. Finds the virtue in things related to its own power, which is a matter of the will. So if we believe in this much, then we will also be forced to accept that we require teachings coming from the own power of the soul, which is the matter of the world, to ensure the success of our souls, not only the success of our bodies, which also obviously a true religion is supposed to provide, because the souls are contained in the body and we are with bodies, to live with bodies in this world. It is important to keep in mind that since we are living in the world of matter, with a soul in our bodies, the soul has to be cleaned and purified with the moral teachings so that we don't get affected with the effects of the material world on the soul. If the soul is kept purified from the effects of the material world, that's how the souls will continue to have their potential to perform things which the bodies cannot perform. So that's where the role of the moral teaching of the religion comes in, that every religion is supposed to provide the same moral teachings, because the soul as well, it's not just the body. The soul needs to be cleaned. You do not have evil attributes, you do not have bad attitudes, you do not have any immoral behaviors and conducts. That's not only harmful for the bodies and the interaction with our fellow human beings of various faiths, because we should respect all of them, but also we can protect those problems. The next important point about a true religion is that it has to be based on the human instinct, what in Arabic we call the fitrah. That means the human instinct. Why do we believe all this? Because God must not have multiple agendas. If God is sponsoring multiple agendas for his creatures, that translates into Islam. When we invite differences, conflicts, which is not acceptable to human conscience. We should avoid wars, we should avoid violence, we should avoid aggressions, we should avoid conflicts, and we should strive to live peacefully with all human beings. And this can happen when the Creator provides one agenda for all human beings. Instead of providing multiple agendas and everybody claiming his agenda, and that's how it comes from. So how can a religion be one for all the humans who have various languages, cultural backgrounds, traditions, customs, and so many other differences related to their quality? Because we are viewers of different color. We are viewers of various languages. We are viewers of various African backgrounds and ethnic backgrounds. But it's good. We can celebrate that. Isn't that right? The only way where the true unity can be reformed can take place in the human kind is when the religion is based on the human instinct and nature. Because all the humans have the instinct in common. If you are talking about the commonalities, people will combine. If you talk about differences, they will be conflicts. So what is common between human beings of all countries? Their instinct. What is common between human beings of all nationalities? Their intellect. They are all same people. Their intellects, their instinct. And that's where we believe in Islam, that the religion has to be in sync with the human instinct, which is common among all the human beings. And basically, that's the realistic way to combine all the human beings together to work in a uniform way and to live peacefully in harmony. Harmony with each other, and to make sure we all have one way of life. It is also significant to say that a true religion should be logical. If a religion talks about illogical things, it should be logical. Even things are logical. One of the biggest blessings of God. And any kind of belief system that promotes a belief that doesn't make sense to the human logic should not be accepted by any belief. And when we have logic, we really don't have the right to force our human belief. And Islam is no force. I don't care what some evil people may be doing. They're always doing bad in society. Who cares about them? When we talk about Islam, we talk about Islam itself. The religion of Islam itself says that there is no force in Islam. Nobody can force anyone to accept any idea. Because the beliefs are always based on logical evidences, so there's a room for every logical-minded person to accept if he or she is serious. Also, so religion should be based on logic. The beliefs of the religion need to be based on logic. It is obvious when we say that religion is founded on human instinct, which is the common thing between human beings. So obviously we come to the result that all the human beings must have a religion because they have the same instinct, which is common. As a matter of fact, all the human beings have a religion. Even those of the humans who claim that we are not included in religion, well, this is their way of life, that we are not included in religion. This is actually their life. Religion means lifestyle, code of life. So that's their code of life. So everybody has a way of life, and that way of life is the religion. They don't want to name it with any specific name, that's their choice. But basically, this is their lifestyle. Just like somebody says, I don't believe in God. Well, actually, everybody believes in God. Well, some may say we believe in God, we believe in man, for instance. Well, even if it was Big Bang, basically there has to be some cause for Big Bang as well. Because we know that no effect can be the other cause. And that's pure love. It's not about the science. Yeah. Imagine an effect taking place without cause. So who did the Big Bang? Well, some call it Mother Nature, others call it God. As long as we all believe in some supernatural force and power, and we assign the similar attributes to that supernatural power, that's God. Whatever name we assign, that's not as limited. This can be understood. And to me, it would sound like that if somebody says that everything came into being without any creator. It would sound illogical for me, because everything in this universe is well placed the way it is supposed to be. Yes, we may not agree, we may not discover the wisdom of so many things happening around us. Due to the fact that we always have very limited knowledge. And just because we could not understand or discover the wisdoms of certain things around us, obviously doesn't allow us to say that there is no wisdom. Because any well-defined, well-placed, well-organized thing requires an organizer. And wisdom. You can't expect that there was a big bang taking place, and or there was some earthquake taking place somewhere, and all of a sudden 50 volumes of encyclopedia Britannica was created after the earthquake. Somebody accept that argument? If somebody says, well, I don't believe in God, there was some earthquake taking place, and after the earthquake, as the aftermath of the earthquake, we find 50 volumes of encyclopedia Britannica. And encyclopedia Britannica is a very articulate book of knowledge. You cannot expect any well-organized, wise, articulate, and well-placed set of information coming into existence without an organizer, without a wise, without wisdom and knowledge and organization behind it. There will be people behind who have wisdom and knowledge to organize it and combine it and to build it. So, same way we find around us in this world, everything in this universe is well placed. It forces the logical minded human to think that there is a creator who is all wise and all right. So our ecosystem is one of the best examples to realize the existence of the creator, because everything in our ecosystem is tied up to everything else. And problems on land become problems at sea. Sometimes we human beings are doing certain actions that add into the problem of the ecosystem. The ecosystem doesn't add no problem to itself by its own. We human beings are liable for any problems to the ecosystem. Examples: if you try to irrigate sufficiently and you turn the deserts and the farmland in Saudi Arabia or American West, South America, and the same water and newly rich soil can be segregated and become useless in two generations. Example number two, if you turn to fish farming in Iceland, because ocean fishing grounds are exhausted, you could put an additional strain on the arable land because of the fact that the farm fish eat food that comes out of the grain. Example number two. Let's go to example number three. So if you build high stacks to keep the industrial smoke from the Ohio River Valley, and that would end up dumping deadly acid rain on the Quebec River and cause further problems. So these are just a few examples for us to realize that we humans create the arcanes of the ecosystem. Also, if you feeding the ducks, and you go to those public parks where there are Canadian zoos around, you find those signs posted there that please don't feed the ducks. Isn't that right? So what happens, the scientists say, if you start feeding the ducks, that would encourage migration of birds to that area and interrupt their natural capital, and which is going to cause harms. For instance, density of the population of birds increases, and that density will in turn cause contraction diseases to be more frequent. Bird droppings will be on the rise, that causes unsanitation and adds nutrients in that ecosystem, which increases the algae growth and also causes the lake to have more fish tanks. So one small thing that the humans can do towards the ducks, just feeding them, it may sound very humane to feed the ducks, but you find there are multiple wrong things that we humans can impact on the ecosystem. Likewise, when there are more birds around, it can cause them to eat more grass, which is basically needed for the ground, for the ground cover, and for the erosion control. So we can understand by now very easily that ecosystem is well placed and well organized and well thought of. There's a thought process, there's wisdom of God in everything. So much that you don't have to provide a sweater to the polar bear. Isn't that right? And nor do you need to provide a space suit, pressurized space suit to the Canadian goose, or a shawl to an Arabian camel in the desert, or a diving suit to a sea otter, because God has provided what they need to exist and sustain successfully. Flotex waterproof breathable jackets to the Pocket Penguins. And they have what they need to survive themselves. You need to provide an oxygen mask to an ant before it enters into its hole, because it has what it takes to survive. It's already provided by the creator. I was reading a book in the library about sharks, and it was mentioning that the smallest species of shark is 5 inches long, which lives in the Mariana Trench. Mariana Trench, as you may know, is the deepest point in the world, south of the US Guam Islands, Pacific Ocean. And then inside the Mariana Trench, there is the deepest point called the Challenger Deep. That's 36,640. Keeping in mind that Mount Everest is 39,028 feet. So in that Mariana Trench, obviously the sun rays cannot reach that deep. So there is a light that emits from the forehead of this dummy shark so that it can find its way. So these are all the arrangements that our creator has provided with his absolute wisdom and knowledge. So coming back to the point, God did not provide wings for elephants. They may sit over our rooftops, and you can imagine what would happen. So everything is well placed. Yes, there are so many other things that we human beings do not understand. Why is this happening? There are so many things. But just because we did not discover the wisdoms yet, as yet, should not give us the license to say it's a wisdom. Instead, we should have a better approach, and we should say, we should find out what's the wisdom, instead of denying it. Because we already learned so many things around us which are well placed, just like if somebody would say there was an earthquake taking place and then and all of a sudden as an aftermath of the earthquake the encyclopedia Britannica was created. Isn't that right? That doesn't make sense. Similarly, it won't make sense for somebody to say that this universe where things are well organized just happened without any wisdom in them. Without any creator who has the knowledge and wisdom. So, when the creator is all knowledgeable and all wise, then he will have an agenda. He will just create us for nothing. So the job of the true religion is also to provide us the answers to the three basic questions. Who are we? Where did we come from? And where we are headed to? That's the next job of every religion. A true religion. If a religion fails to provide the correct answers to these three questions, it's not a true religion. We must provide the answers to these three questions. That's where the role of Sharia takes in. That's what we believe, the laws of divine laws are basically for the uplift of human spirituality. And every law has to be understood in its proper context. And its law of institutions and prerequisites, not out of context. Because it's created by the creator of an intellect. It cannot be against the intellect. It is created by the creator of logic. It cannot be illogical. And it is created by the all-wise, so it cannot be against the wisdom. And these laws were not accessible to us, the humans, otherwise, unless and until Prophet Abraham, Prophet Noah, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Moses, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon all of them. And they brought the laws unless the messengers of God, who have access to the hometown of the soul, the message of the world, be humans do not have access to that world. If we had access, it would be useless to provide messages. We have the logic, we have the intellect, we know what's good, we know what's bad. If we had access to the domain of the metaphysical world, then why are we standing here and talking some messages? Why bother to even believe in them? But since we human beings are composed of a body and a soul, and the soul belongs to that world, which is metaphysical, so we need messengers and prophets coming on the Creator's behalf to inform us about teachings that are also metaphysical and a glimpse of the spirituality. You know? That's why God sends the books with the laws. So just like you go and buy a Sony television from the market, and you find the Sony Corporation provides a brochure, call it. Is that right? All the do's and the do's are mentioned in that brochure. On the back side of the TV, they say, don't open this with electric shock. Is that right? So don't do it with the talents, the Sony Corporation, who are you to be paid to in your arm, such and such. Economic person, qualified person, or so many postdoctoral degrees from such and such university, whatever. I don't want to ask those students, but you can't say that. Because no matter how much qualified you may be, you are not as qualified about this product as the Sony Corporation itself, because they are the manufacturer. Your logic, that's why they are the ones who are providing it. And nobody challenges that. So the same logic applies. We human beings need an instruction manual. And that's what the prophets and the messengers bring the books for our survival and our uplift. And not just uplift, but our connection, constant, ongoing connection of the soul. The food for the soul, just like your bodies need food for its survival, souls need the food as well to survive, which are the teachings coming from its own power, from that of the world, provided by the prophets and the messengers and their deputies and imams. We, the 12 Imams, Shia Muslims, believe that they are 12 Imams after our prophet. Obviously, the first one is Imam Ali, and the last one is Imam Muhammad, the Savior, and Jesus Christ, according to our belief, is alive, and you will come back, and basically, you will pray to Imam Muhammad, who is before them. So that's why we need prophets and messengers and Imams and books that we have sold. And just because we don't see the soul, I mean, it doesn't give us a license to die. Can you see the x-rays? Can you find anyone to be considered that I don't believe in x-rays? I don't believe in ultraviolet rays, infrared rays. There's a scientific evidence. Even if you don't see, that's irrelevant. Isn't that right? When your logic proves that the existence is there, even though you may not see it, you have to believe in it. Logic supports it. So anything for which you have a logical evidence, you have to accept it. But you don't see the most certain things. What do we see? We don't see far away in this universe. We cannot see so far. We don't need to go in the outer galaxy. We can't see even what is behind my back. You know, right? We have access to very limited things. The scientists say that 80% of the living organisms live inside water. We didn't even discover all of those things. They're right, we don't deny. There may be so many kinds of fishes, we don't deny. Because they're scientific evidences. So anything for which we have a logical evidence, even if you do not see it, you have to accept it. That's your logic. That's the call of your mind. Unfortunately, when it comes to Islamic Surrey, and obviously, like I said earlier, they're always with the bad people. I mean, you can never generalize. That would be unfair for anyone to generalize. Brotherhood itself never promotes any violence. Religion is here to teach humankind humanity, not the aggression of violence. Well, but there are people who may do good, there are people who may do bad. We have Timothy McVeigh. I can't say, well, all the Oklahoma citizens are terrorists. And right, I want to say all the Christians are terrorists because Hitler was a Christian. That would be unfair of me to make that statement. Because whatever Hitler did has nothing to do with Christianity. Isn't that right? Christianity did not teach to do this kind of stuff. And evil has no justification. Terrorism has no justification. It has to be condemned absolutely. Isn't that right? The Virginia Tech bomber was Florian Dyer. We can't say all the Floridians are terrorists. That's wrong. But unfortunately, when it comes to Islam, you find the media is displaying things in a different way. Can you please run this short video clip?
Here in New York today, a decision on that issue that set off a national debate.
Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin jumping in on the debate now over a new mosque. Critics have attacked plans to build a mosque at the site of the terror attacks that killed thousands of Americans, calling it hallowed ground and saying it is just too sensitive a location.
They're going to build a mosque at ground zero? We haven't even rebuilt a building at ground zero. They're going to build a mosque on that hallowed ground? Or is it not exactly hallowed ground?
This is 45 Park Place in Lower Manhattan. It used to be the Burlington Coat Factory.
Okay, actually, I think that's a couple of blocks away from Ground Zero. And it's not technically a mosque, it's an Islamic cultural center. So, for its critics, what location would be acceptable?
A half mile away.
Moving several blocks away.
Put it 5 blocks away or 10 blocks away. A 15 block radius,
20 blocks away.
Here is the first response about this location.
Do you know what it is you're standing in front of right now? You're down here around there.
No, it says masjid. Is that a Jewish magic shop?
No. It's not a magic shop. Masjid is a mosque. It's a mosque.
Wait, that's a mosque?
Yes, that's right.
But we're 4 blocks from ground zero.
Yes, I know. That mosque actually is in the neighborhood I live in. It's been there for 40 years. It predates the World Trade Center.
Oh, holy crap, John. 2 mosques near ground zero?
No, that's not important.
Now I get it.
You can get what, Wyatt?
That's how they're going to take over. They're going to build a mosque every 2 blocks until the city's completely covered.
Why? I think you're thinking of Starbucks.
You're right, man. Thank God those people got here first.
All right.
And now, the second response about this location.
Well, why not a quarter mile? Why not an eighth of a mile? Who gets to decide exactly what the mileage difference is? The reality is there already is a mosque at that same location right now where hundreds of people are going to. No, at that same location. There's another one 2 blocks away from that one.
Yeah, put it over there.
It already is there. It's just a question of rebuilding the same structure. I think what's going on, this issue is being used as a fear-mongering campaign.
Indeed, this fear-mongering against Islam has incited widespread religious intolerance and hate crimes.
May 10th, Jacksonville, Florida. A pipe bomb at the Islamic Center of Northeast Florida. The bomb went off during evening prayers and it was powerful enough to send shrapnel flying 100 yards. Fortunately, the bomber didn't know where to place it, so the 60 Muslim worshippers were uninjured.
In Brooklyn just a couple of months ago, there was a Bangladeshi man. And he was approached by 3 teens, and they asked him, "Are you Muslim?" And he said, "Yes." And they said, "Go back to your believing country." Then they attacked him, and the man was in a coma. And now these are teens that could not be prosecuted as adults.
21-year-old Michael Enright got into a New York City taxi last night, asked the driver if he was Muslim, got an affirmative answer, and then allegedly slashed the driver with a knife across the neck, face, and shoulders. Michael Enright was today arraigned on charges of attempted murder 2 as a hate crime.
Let's take a look at some of the biased reporting that is fueling this intolerance and hatred.
There's growing outrage over plans to build more mosques and Islamic centers in America. You've probably heard about a lot of the stories, but in New York City, tempers are really flaring over a proposal to sell a Catholic convent to a Muslim group. Now in rural Tennessee, a plan to build a mosque has sparked vandalism, even death threats.
And of course, the mosque at Ground Zero. They said, yes, there's an uptick in the number of mosques that are being built. And of course, accordingly, there are a number of people asking, why are these mosques being built in my community?
Oh, I think I know the other one. Because there are Muslims who live in your community. and I guess they can't find the prayer carpet room in the church or synagogue.
Now let's hear the Islamophobes explain how religious prejudice is not the reason they oppose these mosques.
Is it because of the location, Lauren, or the fact that they're being built at all?
I think there's a question about why these mosques are being built.
There are some people that are afraid, and they're afraid for good reason, because Islamic philosophy and ideology starts in a mosque.
Mass is one of several major Islamist groups in the United States that claim to be moderate, and their mission is to spread Islam to be dominant in the United States.
What? One of the tenets of Islam is to spread Islam? That would be like if Christians went places and built churches.
Go and make disciples of all nations. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. He commanded us to preach to the people.
But wait! Muslims don't just want to spread their religion. They want to make it the law of the land.
This is in this book. This is the imam that is spearheading the effort to build the mosque. These are his words. He's the one that has argued that Sharia law can be used in the U.S. because they can have their own courts and religious leaders.
Okay, let's stop here for a minute. So the issue is allowing Muslims in the U.S. to arbitrate civil matters internally. Islamic arbitration courts already operate in the U.K. as have Jewish courts for centuries. As with any arbitration, participation is voluntary, and especially nothing is being imposed on unwilling non-Muslims.
That he would want to impose, or at least allow for Muslims to have the ability to transcend the American court system.
Oh yes. See, the thing about Sharia is, the difference is that no other religious system makes rules for people who are outside the religion. But Islamic law does.
What? So I guess in your town I can go buy booze on a Sunday to bring to Adam and Steve's wedding reception?
So not only are the proposed Islamic arbitration courts voluntary, but Christian countries and Israel already impose their religious beliefs on others by prohibiting certain activities such as gay marriage and buying alcohol and sharp timings on Sundays or the Sabbath.
Still, if the new principle is that no one should have to live by the rules of someone else's religion, I know some people who are going to be very disappointed.
Go back to what our founders and our founding documents meant. They're quite clear that we would create law based on the God of the Bible and the Ten Commandments.
We believe in a constitution that's based on those Judeo-Christian ethics.
Most of our laws actually have flowed from the Old Testament.
Aren't all our laws really based on the Ten Commandments? I know this is God's constitution.
So the hypocrites attacking Islamic arbitration courts love the fact that the U.S. Constitution is based on the Bible.
Wait a minute. Now I know why you don't want mosques popping up all over the place. Competition? Damn free market?
And now, for the final word about this question.
We want to know what you think. Should Muslims be allowed to build their mosques in the neighborhoods of their choosing?
And coming up next, should Puerto Ricans be allowed to lower your proxy votes? Should the Irish be allowed to vote? Diane Sawyer, ABC News. We'll be right back.
Indeed, this whole issue is the same as prohibiting citizens of a specific...
Can you also please remind us all the PowerPoint? This is the... this is, as you can see, here is the report. Obviously, it shows all the Muslims are terrorists, except 99.6% that are. And this is about Europe. So if you can scroll down and see, so this shows the breakdown of all those activities. So this is 99.6%. So it comes down 99.6, that means 0.4% only. Whereas that's not how the media is portrayed. And if you go, we come back to the US, and the report says that all terrorists are Muslim except 94% that aren't. That's about 4%. And you can see this is the breakdown of all those activities that terrorist activities that have taken place. So you can find the percentages, and then you can discover how the media is portraying the whole thing. So it is very significant as we come to the end. It's very significant, respectable ladies and gentlemen, that when we are considering to find out about a religion, that we do not look at what some people may be doing. Instead, we look at what the religion itself is saying. There will always be some good and bad people in any community. There may be terrorist Hindus, there may be terrorist Sikhs, there may be terrorist Jews, there may be terrorist Christians, there may be terrorist Muslims, there may be terrorist Buddhists. They're good and bad in every community. You can never generalize. Obviously, every human being condemns terrorism in its totality. But when you are looking into the religion itself, you have to separate the practices of the evil from the religion itself. Because the evil practices do not have any justification for the religion. That's not what the religion is saying. Just like what Timothy McVeigh did has nothing to do with Christianity. And we cannot dump it on Christianity. There may be bad interpretations of some people, there may be bad practices of their own, which is not at all justified by the religion. I pray to God to further his blessings on all of you. And also, I would like to say to all those Muslim audience which are present here, as my obligation as a Muslim imam towards all of you, that treat all your neighbors with respect. Your Jewish neighbors, your Christian neighbors, your Hindu neighbors, your Buddhist neighbors. Every human being will be treated with respect. This is what our religion teaches. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Marks. Linda, that was the next comment. If you guys have questions.
Thank you all very much for coming. Let's have another round of applause.